Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Thrive in EDU podcast. I am your host, Rochelle Denepoth. This is season 5, episode 34, and I am very excited because today I am not just talking to myself in this episode. I actually have not just one, but two guests, and I'm thrilled to have them both here joining me today. One of the guests you actually may have heard on a prior podcast back in November, and so I have him returning along with another person joining me today. And so we're going to dive right in and hopefully you'll enjoy this episode, getting to learn about my two guests and what they are offering for educators. So first of all, welcome to Thomas Thompson and Thomas Hummel. Over to you,
Thanks Thompson. Thanks for having us on. Thank you for having us on. We're excited to sit down and have a conversation today.
Of course, me too. And Hummel?
Yeah, thank you. We're just excited for this. Always a pleasure to talk to you, Rochelle.
Well, thank you. And it's fun to talk to you both. It's, I think, been since July when we first had a conversation and just seeing the growth of EduAid, which we'll be talking about as well, has been exciting. And for me at conferences, just seeing the teacher response. But for those who either did not listen in November or are not familiar with both of you, I'm going to start with you, Mr. Thompson. Give a little just background. What got you to where you are today? What do you do in your daily activities?
Yeah. So Thomas Hummel and I, we're both named Thomas, probably why we're going by last names here. We are classroom teachers. We taught across the hall from one another. And in the course of our first 3 years of teaching, we had a number of conversations about, you know, the issues we face and the issues that we see in the institution that we work in. And through those conversations really came this application for AI-assisted lesson planning and instructional design that is EduAid AI.
All right. Well, thank you. And over to you, Mr. Hummel, for your intro.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm a middle school science teacher. I coach soccer as well. I coach a U19 women's soccer team and really passionate about that. And then recently I just became a dad. So I got that going on, which is my greatest accomplishment so far, which is just amazing. And yeah, so just kind of like what Thompson was saying is EduAid sort of started out from him and I having a really great professional relationship. We were right across the hall from one another. And, you know, any teacher who's in the system, who's been in the system, and clearly after going through what we did with COVID, you know, there's clear issues that need to be addressed. And we just thought of different ways to address those issues. And somehow EduAid came out of that.
And I love the story because, like I was telling you earlier, and I say it often, I tell the story about both of you all the time because being from Pittsburgh and that connection and the fact that you're in the classroom and you get it, you know what we're dealing with and all of the challenges that are faced, and you're creating something that's making life easier, which we'll get into a little bit more about EduAid shortly. But first, I do have to say again, congratulations to you for new family member there. You're going to need some extra sleep, but I don't know where you will find the time to fit that in, but best of luck to you for that.
I have to say, I've been running on no sleep now for about, I don't know, 10 months with running while teaching. So, you know, it's just one more thing, but it's amazing. It's just been the greatest thing. And being on paternity leave is nice too. So it's great to just focus on my family.
Yes, absolutely. That is awesome. So we're going to talk about AI, which is my favorite topic probably to talk about with anybody at this point. But the question I have for both of you, and you could both address this or, you know, whoever wants to start, is when thinking about education, and there are so many, and you've been teaching, so you know there's all these different digital tools and there's different methods, and we're always adding extra things onto our plates. And my interest is in finding out, like, what was the thing that led you to this? Or was there a specific challenge that you were facing as a teacher in your classroom that led you to develop this AI platform and resource for educators?
Yes, a high level, lack of reliable resources, lack of support, tough time translating canned content from textbooks and, you know, behind paywalls to meet the unique needs that I faced in the classroom. And also kind of a larger, more institutional concern is, you know, at the school I work at, looking at 35 to 40% turnover rates year over year, how do you build excellence in a field that can't retain talent, right? How do you build a system in which teachers can work together in a community of practice to attain mastery and expertise over their craft. These are all things and questions that I've had, problems that I ran into, and exactly what you said, one more thing to your plate, right? So it's every time you want to plan a lesson, you need to go to 10 different tabs to access your school's resource subscriptions. Then you need to go over to Translate, and then you need to scale the reading level up or down, and then you post it into your Google Doc, but then you got to share it with the shared drive. And then from the shared drive, you got to download it to the PDF and then print that and post that on Brightspace. And it's like, how about we, instead of, you know, disaggregating everything that we do in the classroom across 12 different platforms, we integrate everything, put all of our tools in one place so I can reduce the cost of switching between tasks. I can do my job and have everything I need to do it well into better differentiate instruction to meet the needs of students. Those are all the kind of goals we wanted to accomplish with EduAid. It's a lot, you know.
It is. And before I defer to Hummel for his response on this one, I just have to say that you made me laugh, because when I think about going into the classroom every day, we have our routines, right? And I call it like the 15-click system. But I very much appreciate the way that you explained it. And I can only imagine two things. One, educators who are listening, that resonates so well with them because they know that's exactly what the experience has been. And two, anybody who's listening who is not in education is now going to develop an appreciation for what educators actually experience and how they create and navigate through all the different things that we have to on a daily basis. So thank you for that. And over to you, Hummel.
Yeah, I would just say something that really was concerning and where this kind of came out of too, is that, you know, both Thomas and I, when we were planning our lessons, we would have our planning at school, but we would both be taking work home every single night. And we both had a commute to our school. And, you know, it takes away from your personal life and who you are outside of the classroom. And it's impossible to have balance if you're pouring everything into your school and you have to take that home with you. And, you know, that's not balance. That's being overworked, and which ultimately leads to burnout. And so we really just wanted to, like Thomas was saying, we've seen so many great teachers come into our sphere and then leave the profession. And it's because they've been overworked. And it makes my job harder as a teacher in that building when other good teachers aren't staying around. And, you know, it's frustrating. And so we just wanted to help teachers save time. And something else about EduAid that goes into our design is that we believe that the teachers are the professionals, and a lot of times we don't get treated like professionals. And so we've built everything with EduAid in mind that the teacher must make a decision that is like their professional best decision, because we believe that teachers are the professionals. So, you know, we want to empower teachers to get what they need quickly, but then make decisions on how to manipulate that and how to do what's best for the students in front of them, because they know the students and nobody else really does. So between those two things, I would say that's sort of how I see EduAid coming about.
Yeah. And the thing that sticks out to me is like the work that goes home and the time that it takes. And we were talking, I was at a conference, a couple of conferences, and I always joke with educators, how many of you are finding you have hours upon hours of the day where you're just like, I am so bored, or, you know, how about those weekends off? And I went, wait, we're actually sitting here at a conference learning on a Sunday afternoon. And so there are so many things to keep up with. And when you can streamline that process, or with the overwhelm of so many tools that are out there, finding one that really does enable you to do all the things in one space, but like you said, like it gives teachers the ownership in it, or gives them the responsibility to go in and decide what is going to work best for them and for their students. And so great points by both of you. I'm still going back to Mr. Thomason's version of the 15-click system. So thanks for that. So you kind of covered, you know, how your experience as an educator has informed, you know, your practice, how you've used it to design. Are there people that come to you, send you information every day, like, look, you know, this is all great, but here are some other things I have to do. Like, where do you pull extra ideas from that maybe don't relate to, you know, the content that you're teaching, the grade level that you're working with? Because that's a question that I get a lot as well, since I deal primarily with high school students. I want to know, what do elementary teachers need, or how can I best help them? So with that being said, you know, How do you come up with all the things that you're putting into EduAid?
I think there's really three big streams that we pull from. First is conversations like this, you know, meeting people who have used the platform or are in these spaces and having conversations with them, getting feedback from them, asking them to mercilessly just critique the platform. You know, what could we do better? The other one is just user feedback, finding ways to source that. Could be outreach, doing interviews, seeing how people interact with the site, you know, and having people reach out to us and tell us what they think is missing and trying to get as many different voices into the system as possible, right? So that's going to be reaching out to special educators who use the platform and what tools could we use to support you and math teachers, science teachers. You know, recently we pulled out our career and technical education resources because, you know, we've gotten feedback from those folks. And it's just a matter of responding to the needs of the user base. Additionally, like kind of embedded into all of those aspects are just pulling through our knowledge base of research, looking at the different studies coming out in the cognitive science of learning and the learning sciences more broadly, getting into the literature database, literature base, and doing that desk research and then pulling ideas from there. So that's a matter of aligning the resources we do make with evidence-based practices so that we can connect teachers with, you know, the methods and techniques that we know are most effective in the classroom. En masse. I mean, there's always boundary conditions and there's always times where certain methods won't be as effective in certain circumstances. But it's just how do we connect teachers with a logical sequence of instruction and with, again, evidence-based methods. And I can go into more detail of what that would look like if you would like. But those are really the three main areas. And then, of course, it's just Hummel and I also brainstorming and talking as well about, you know, what we're doing in the classroom. So, you know, conversations, user feedback, research literature, and us two brainstorming.
Yeah, thank you for that. And that the feedback is essential. And it, I mean, it's just like what we do in our classroom as teachers, right? We want to work with our students. And I always ask my students, please give me some feedback. If there's a method that I'm using or something that we try in class and it works really well for you, it doesn't work really well, or anything in between, I need that feedback because that's going to help me to improve what I'm doing in the classroom and to better provide for the students. No different than what you're doing with EduAid. So thank you for those. And if we can circle back around, you want to go more into that, we definitely can. But I just wanted to see if Hummel wanted to add anything onto that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I have certainly a different perspective from a lot of things, and that's great from Tom. And you know, that helps us be so efficient at this and kind of try to figure things out. But I totally agree with him that we just are so open to feedback, and neither, you know, nobody here at EduAid is going to claim that we're these like AI experts and that, you know, we know the answers, we know best. And so, you know, we're not even going to sit there and spend time thinking about that. We've reached out and we've tapped our advisory board. We've tapped different doctors from all over the place. We have a doctor from Stanford right now looking at our site and how to improve. And so we are just totally open to making this the best thing for teachers.
Yeah. And I wasn't sure if Thompson was going to add anything onto that, but thinking about, you know, all of the issues out there, one of the biggest questions I get from educators is like, where do I begin? You know, why should I pick one tool, or I don't know how to start? Is it super time consuming? What about, you know, the responsible use and worrying about student and their information and things that go into it? And so there's lots of questions behind all of the things. And one of the biggest ones is, you know, the purpose of why you're using it. I say to educators, okay, what is something that you're doing in your classroom that is very time consuming? Or I'll say, what is something that you've taught so many times in so many different ways and you are just stuck and you need some ideas? And I think those are great reasons to dive into using something and exploring it. And one of the things that I love about EduAid is you're continuing to add things. And Thompson mentioned CTE. I remember the day that I was demoing it and I went, oh my gosh, like this is great, because that has been something that I've been hearing more and more about and people are asking for resources for it. And so it is very exciting to think about all of the potential. And for me, I could go on and on, but I want to hear from you before we get into a serious question about ethical considerations. But it's exciting because we have all of these different things available for us to kind of transform the way students are learning, to enhance and make us more productive and efficient in our roles. But for both of you, what is something that excites you the most about the potential of AI when it comes to education, whether for teachers or for the experience of students in learning?
That's a good question. So I would agree that I think AI is quite daunting for a lot of people to approach, especially in those kind of chatbot formats. It's a matter of figuring out the right prompt and the right way to get what you want. It's getting easier and easier with newer models and larger contexts, but that still is a barrier to entry. And for us, it's a matter of how do we remove barriers of entry to the technology. And what we do first is just strip away all the technology and ask, you know, what problem do we want to solve? And I think you hit it exactly on the head, Rochelle, that the problems are, of course, you know, teacher burnout, teachers not feeling as though they have the resources they need to engage in lesson planning. So then it's a matter of how do we simplify the steps to get them to the best possible resource for their classroom? It's not a matter of, you know, putting education on autopilot. I feel like that's the worst case scenario. Like, that's awful. We want to avoid that at all costs. We don't want someone just going in and clicking a button like George Jetson, and that's just their job, right? They don't have to put any thought into it. That's the worst case AI scenario. So for us, it's how do we make a collaborative environment where the teacher and the AI can work seamlessly together, each playing at their strengths? And the strengths of large language models are diverse, and things you think they might not do well, they do quite well. And things you would think should be quite easy for such a sophisticated technology doesn't do quite well, right? It's because it does a very large but shallow computation. And we can, again, I don't want to go into too much detail. I know time constraints are here, but I think the thing that excites me the most about AI and education is the possibility to make knowledge broadly accessible to teachers. And you might be saying, well, isn't it? You know, they have degrees, they understand their content knowledge, they understand, you know, what they're teaching. But the truth is, a number of resources, and I've run into this problem, that I've wanted to access are stuck behind paywalls. I can't get to them. I would have to pay an exorbitant textbook subscription fee at $200 a year just for digital access or something like that. And then I would have to figure out ways to make it fit the unique needs of my learners. Where AI solves that problem is that it makes the knowledge that you're accessing much cheaper and much more flexible, because now it's in a format that you can play with it. You can differentiate it. You can personalize it to the unique needs of the learners in your classroom. That level of personalization and responsiveness that I think AI will make possible gets me very excited.
Yeah, I love that. All of what you said, you have said a couple of things that I'm going to have to go back and write down some of the quotes and use those, because really it helps you to really process it. And for some people who can feel overwhelmed, and teacher burnout is a real thing, some of these tools really help instantly, because like when I was showing EduAid last week, just showing the teachers, like, you can do all of these things, like what used to take a day or longer of planning out a lesson, doing all these different things, and then thinking about your students' needs, now is condensed so quickly. But we're going to talk about EduAid a little bit more shortly. But I just think about all the possibilities, but also being mindful of some of the, you know, concerns. So thank you for sharing that. How about you, Mr. Hummel?
I would say the thing that I like about AI and the thing that excites me about it on a personal level is that in my own class, I've been doing like some of the same lessons or just tweaking them a little bit, always trying to improve them. And I've never had the ability to improve them the way that I have with AI, whether that's supplementing things, whether that's being able to change certain aspects of it, whether that's being able to really challenge students more with deeper and more thoughtful questions than what I had come up with originally. And so the teaching is so fun. Like, the getting in there and teaching kids is so fun, and it's so rewarding. It's all the other stuff that sucks. And so whenever you are able to take this tool and you're able to actually like enhance your teaching, like, it's fun, and it really is inspiring, and it really excites me. Like, Oh, I did this lesson last year. Okay, now how can I improve it? Oh, I can get this information. I can make this now UDL. I can have, you know, a project here. I can do this and all these things I could never do before. And so I just, that's really what excites me about AI as far as being a teacher.
I totally agree. And there are so many things that take us away from what matters the most, right? That's the time with the students, and in building our own skill sets as well is important. And we don't often have time to collaborate with our colleagues. Yeah. And so there, go ahead.
No, Thompson has a great saying about this, but it lowers the cost of experimentation. And that is a fun way to go about teaching, and you know, being able to try different things is really a great place to be as a teacher.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with that. And the one thing that I keep coming back to, everybody has, you know, things that you remember or things to be mindful of. And when I speak about AI, I am often, like you can tell, super excited about it because they're, I love sharing with others. I love helping them to get started and to feel less, you know, overwhelmed, because even in the session I did last week and in all my sessions, I always say, what's the first thing you think of when you hear AI? And over the years, the last 6 years, I guess now, the answers have changed. I mean, for a long time, it was Terminator and iRobot and all of these things. And then last week, I had a woman in my session. She said, danger, danger. And then, are there concerns that you have about, you know, academic integrity? And raise your hand. And she put both hands up. So it's very, you know, it's all over the place a little bit. So I've narrowed it down to, you know, there's the possibilities. And there is the responsibilities, and it's all great, but we still have to be mindful of what our responsibilities are. And so, you know, a big focus area is on ethical considerations, and especially making sure that these tools are in compliance with all of the different guidelines that schools have and school policies. And so for you, you get it because you're in school and you know what you need to look for. And I'm sure you are even more mindful than maybe in years past, as I am, of looking at all of the information, like what's happening with the information that we're sharing and what is the company doing to kind of make sure they are in compliance. So for you and the work that you do, how do you ensure that it is, you know, ethical, responsible use of AI within your platform, especially when it comes to things like student privacy and the security and all of those issues surrounding it?
Yes. So we'll tackle this from a few different angles. First, as you got at, was student personally identifiable information, data privacy, and safety. EduAid deliberately keeps a very light footprint. It's against our terms of service for a student to sign up and use this. If we find that they are, or if we find that student information was entered onto the site, it is promptly taken down, deleted. None of our data is used to train large language models. We frame ourselves as a model garden, that is, where teachers can access a range of large language models or generative AI models, and not have to worry about their data being harvested and used for training, because it is, again, student data. There are a number of policies and laws that govern its use. So we do not collect it. We do not retain it. We do not ask for it. On top of that, there's also, you know, teacher data and just the general data privacy constraints around that. Like, we don't even, for example, collect a username or password or anything like that. We use a passwordless sign-in. You type in your email address, it sends you a link to your school's work email. You can only access it if you're signed in, you're verified as an employee of that school, et cetera, et cetera. The idea is we don't want that to be another worry and constraint and barrier to access. And it makes our platform more easily approvable for schools. They can have the peace of mind that they don't really even have to worry about, you know, the data privacy constraint or the data privacy concerns, because again, student data is not entering the platform in any way. Now, there's constraints and ethical concerns around AI more broadly, you know, bias, hallucination. So bias comes through the training sets that the AI is built on. So any bias that the AI reflects is unfortunately a bias that has come from us, the humans that have created the data and information that the AI is trained on. Additionally, we can see that swing very far in the other end. It seems like there was a recent controversy with Google Gemini and, you know, trying to counteract a lot of those biases and in a way creating biases in and of itself. You have to walk a very fine line of ethical principles in training these language models, because I think this comes to the central concern for me. Maybe a little more existential than is warranted, but this is how I think about it, right? The meaning of words are, I think, rooted in our specific uses and specific contexts. You know what I mean, because it's in relation to the entire conversation that has come before and my experiences that you know of. This context-dependent nature of language, I think, challenges the idea that large language models can replicate the nuanced ways in which humans convey meaning and use language in a variety of contexts. So I think going for broad alignment of large language models to some ethical standard or ethical principle, I think, is less important than we should, let's call it, economic alignment. That is, aligning it to the specific interests of the specific user in the specific context in which they're operating. But you constrain that within, again, clearly articulated ethical principles. And we do that on Eduaid. We have content moderation endpoints built into our platform, such that if a teacher is trying to, say, generate something that does not have an educative benefit and may be perpetuating racism, bias, threats of violence, or explicit sexual content or things like that, those content requests get denied on our site, right? So we're trying to build in those safeguards and parameters. And then there's the final area, which is the constraining the chaotic creativity of large language models within evidence-based instructional parameters. Keep it focused on education, keep it focused on the goals of teaching and learning. That's really kind of why there is a use case and why there's a need for a platform like Eduaid, because it's taking that broad but kind of shallow world of the chatbot and really diving deep into the education specific focus and all of the constraints that come with that. Sorry, that was a lot, but ethics is
no.
A good question.
It is. And in some of the writing and things I've been doing, you know, like there's like a couple pages here, and then ethics is just constantly evolving. And I love that you said existential. I can't even sound it out. I was just taking in like mind blowing the way that you explained it, but you're right. Like the words and then everything else around it. So thank you for all of that. And Humboldt, did you want to add to it?
No, I would just say, you know, Tom does a great job at getting at the points and the complexities of what we're dealing with. I would say from like a simple overview is ethically, we feel like if teachers are just going to get something from AI and give it to the students, that's like a doomsday scenario. Mm-hmm. And so everything we've done has been built that teachers have to make the decisions. They are small enough generations that the teachers have to make decisions and are encouraged to review and edit them. And so, you know, the filter of having a professional to look at this stuff really is the ethical way to go about it. We really do not agree with the philosophy of just here, click generate and then give this to your kids. That's a really bad look, and that's going to be horrible for AI in the future. So we've tried to build that out of what we do. And so everything's
even the 80-20 principle, I think, is off as well. Like it's more, it has to be this very much dynamic collaboration between both parties, nearly an equal measure. Because if you have 80% AI, 20% teacher overview, I think that also is that really slippery slope to the doomsday, the dystopian scenario. Like I think of it like this: you have a AI writing assistant, and it learns from you as you use it, right? Okay, so you write, the AI looks at the text, says, hey, you should reword it this, rephrase it like this. You know, you want to adjust your tone here. And there's a lot of those, it goes beyond just simple spelling and grammar. You know, if you've used Grammarly, for example, it does suggest that you rephrase this and, you know, change your tone and how you're communicating. And okay, so at what point are you the core driver of action, or is the AI the core driver of action? And where does your uniqueness and individuality lose itself into this kind of broader standardization? And at what point is it just AI emails going to AI email readers that are summarizing it for the human reader that types a brief summary that then gets expanded for an AI to send out, and then an AI shortens it? And it's just like, what is this complication of technology? We need to be able to cut through it and use AI where it makes sense to use it and not overuse technology. And I think in education, we see a tendency towards no use or overuse of tech, right? That might be, not every classroom needs one of those smart boards. You know, they've been collecting dust for about the last 6 years. You know, I've seen a teacher or two that have never turned it on. Why was that never a conversation that was going to happen beforehand? Or how do you make more nuanced procurement decisions? And I understand that at the large institution level, that can be quite tough to get into that fine-tuned level. But I think a part of it is also on the companies making the technology. They should not saturate the market or saturate schools, inundate them with technologies that are not solving real problems. You know, there's certain new inventions that are coming out and it's like, well, what problem is this solving? The fact that no one's using this, is that the problem that it's solving? Not, you know, a real issue that needs a technological intervention.
Yes. That's all I have to say on that. Another way that you described the email, like the AIs, like we're out of it. We are actually taking time off as teachers, right? Because everything is just working on its own. We don't need people anymore. But I had an administrator in my one session not that long ago, and she was talking about how she loves using it just even for something simple with an email. If she wants to avoid the snark in a response or something, it just helps her as a thought partner, but also being mindful of, okay, I want to use this, but you can go down that, like, I'm using this for everything because you see how much time it saves and that it generates. But the thing that I catch, and I hope other people catch too, is when there is that disclaimer or that reminder of, like, okay, you know, remember, this has been generated by not a human, proofread, edit, add whatever, to make sure that what you're giving to your students is something that they should receive. And so I love that you brought that point up. And so we've been talking a lot about all the high level things, the very important things, ethics, of course, what is leading your decisions in providing this amazing thing for educators. And I will be sure to link our previous chat about EduAid in the resource notes for this episode. But I know that since I initially found EduAid last July or June even, you have like 65 resources and you've continued to add more and more. And so there are a lot of new things out there. And so if you were to recommend some things for teachers to explore that might take some, you know, of that load off of them, they're like, I have to do all the 15 clicks or the way that you described it. What are some things that you might recommend that teachers should explore?
Things that I use on EduAid quite a lot. If you're looking for a brainstorming partner, our lesson seed, I think, is a great resource for that. It's the most used resource on our site, and I think that's for a reason. It provides teachers not only with, you know, a lesson plan outline, but really a starting point, because most of the things that are referenced in that lesson seed are also on our site. So that kind of sends you down the rabbit hole. So let's say you generate a lesson seed on EduAid. What would you be looking at? Well, the first thing is it's going to provide you with a number of different objectives that you could attain. Or if you input your objective, it'll typically use that as the starting point. From there, it's prior knowledge. You know, what prior knowledge do the students need to have to be able to access this material? That's great, because let's say you don't pass that first barrier. Like, you know what? I don't think my students have the prior knowledge. So what could I do? We have a tool for that, right? Taxonomy scaffolding, and we have the prior knowledge and scaffolding tools, in which you now take that prior knowledge measure, put it into the topic bar, and then you have a number of assignments you can complete to scaffold students to the new material that you're trying to hit. Building that piece in to ensuring that your students are ready for instruction, I think, is a great place to start. I think there's some great tools on EduAid to help with that. And I think it's really just a great practice to have in the classroom. Too often, I think we get caught up in curriculum pacing guides to the point where we're not really reflecting the unique needs of the classroom in front of us. Co-planning is wonderful, but, you know, there's three different contexts in the same school building. And if my students are not quite ready to move on to the next piece and instruction, next lesson, I need to be able to go back and reteach and do that kind of more deep level fine tune stuff with my students. EduAid has those tools for it. That's under the planning tab under our content generator. It's the first thing you'll see when you log into the site. And that's, I think, on purpose. Start at the plan, because I think, you know, during my student teaching, my mentor told me two little catchphrases that really stay with me, which is preparation prevents poor performance. And that's exactly the four P's. Preparation prevents poor performance. If you have that, you're good as a teacher. Just get that lesson in place, have the materials ready, and know where you want the students to go from the minute they walk in, because dead air will be the death of you in the classroom. Second is that stay humble, stay hungry, but that's more of a personal anecdote for me. And you know, it sticks with me.
Those are great.
Bigger answer than you wanted. I started ranting, but sorry about that.
No, but it's planning here. Yeah, but you're giving good advice. And you know, teachers are like, they want guidance. They want to know where to begin and how to embrace all of this. So no apologies needed. Over to you, Hummel. What do you have to say about this for educators? What advice do you have?
Yeah, I would say something that we do well that other companies have not done yet, but probably will, is our gamification stuff, which has been really cool, right? There's major concerns about classroom management right now and that kind of stuff. And engaging students in fun and meaningful ways is a good way to get to ultimately deeper learning. So definitely try our gamification stuff. But just to the point that I was making earlier, like if I'm a teacher and you know, I have an opportunity, I have a PD day or I have a Sunday that I can click around, like click around on everything that we have, because it'll take you less time than it would to write an entire lesson plan. And your students will probably appreciate you taking a little bit of risk to try new things in your classroom. We don't want kids to be bored. And, you know, it's great as a teacher, I can say it's great to just be honest, like, hey, guys, we're going to try this today. If it sucks, let me know and we'll try something different. But if it's great, like, you know, we can do this and whatever helps you guys learn, that's what I'm here for. So like I was getting at it, we lower the cost of experimentation. So try something, like just try something different. Like there's literally 120 some options on there. You can try it and it'll probably work if you're committed to it. And if it doesn't, don't do it again. Don't use it. Take what you need from EduAid and discard what you don't and be a better teacher because of it. So
also the feedback bot is a great tool. If you have like a writing sample, you could plug it into our feedback bot and then you can give students direct, actionable, and timely feedback. Because I don't know about you, when I take a stack of papers home for the weekend, the feedback by the, you know, 70 or 80th paper may not be as rigorous as it was on the previous 25 or 30. We can erase that if we use something like EduAid, because then you could put in your own rubric as the starting point, and then it'll give actionable feedback based on the rubric that you provided it. And that's, I think, a very powerful tool in addition to the planning and gamification pieces.
And I agree with that. And I at the last conference, I had shown the gamification. I said, hey, have you ever wanted to? And I named a couple different things. And you thought, I don't have enough time. I can't do that. I'm like, well, look, it's right here. You just dive into that. And that student engagement piece is the big concern, especially heading into, you know, the springtime towards the end of the school year. Active learning is important to get the students up and moving. I kind of scared everybody in one of my sessions because a woman had gotten up to shut the door because the people in the hallway was kind of noisy and they couldn't hear in the back. And I said, your timing is perfect. I said, just imagine, because I do this all the time. I said, just imagine that I shut the door, which she just did. And I tell you that, and this is a couple of days ago, you cannot move from where you are until June 16th of 2025. And I said, how many of you are thinking, gee, I wish I never sat down. Why didn't I get that cup of coffee? It's scary, but the research has shown that there are, on average, students in grades K through 12 spend 11,700 hours sitting in their classroom seats. And so the more time that you can get them up and moving, the collaboration options that are available in there too are great, because especially for teachers, elementary teachers, I don't know how they do it. There are so many things, but even if you're teaching multiple different courses. I teach five different types of classes within the six that I teach. And so finding the time to provide all of these different things for students, like EduAid makes it so easy, but I love that you have the options and the workspace and everything is right there and neat. And the people are always so excited about it. And in the recent session, I said, we're danger, danger, and two hands up. I had seen that same woman hours later, and I said to her, because one of the things I said was, if I'm speaking too quickly, which clearly I do speak fast when I get excited about a topic, please tell me to slow down. And at the end of the session, she said, you speak really fast. I said, you didn't tell me to slow down. And so I had seen her later and she said, it was fine. I got it. And I have to tell you, I feel so much better now because I saw a resource that I feel like I can do all of these different things and I don't have to go to all of these different places because everything is right there and I can explore it in my own time, at my own pace, and see what works and what doesn't. And so that's awesome. Other things that you want to share about EduAid for teachers who are, you know, you kind of did this because you said go with plan, because you're going to start with a plan. Maybe you want to gamify, but other things that you want to add that people may not know, or you're like, you need to know this.
Yeah. I mean, there's no risk or commitment in trying EduAid at all. You just pop over to the site, log in, make a free account, and you can test the site out. If it proves valuable to you, I mean, we do have a pro version, which just kind of allows for unlimited generations that you can save and, you know, move and play with and do everything. But the free version of our site does include all of the tools. So there's no like wall. I mean, there is a generation limit. That's really for us to mitigate the cost of running EduAid so we can continue to provide it. We do have our scholarship program for teachers who email us, let us know that there's real financial need, and we grant all of those requests with free access to EduAid. We never want cost to be a barrier. So we've paired our pro subscription with a really low price point, we think at $5.99 a month. And then we also have district plans and work with schools. We have a number of PD opportunities coming up. We're building these training modules, not only on how to use EduAid AI, but also just to build the capacity of schools and teachers to understand generative AI more broadly. How does the technology work? You know, what are its common pitfalls? What are its boundary conditions? What are the unique things that it can do? Because we don't want only for teachers to just use EduAid AI. We know that there's a variety of other AI tools out there, and we want teachers to feel competent in using them. So that's what we're trying to do with our new training courses. And those will be coming out on in first half of March. And so if you're not sure about AI, come over to EduAid, because in addition to the site with all of the tools, we're going to have a number of just professional development resources just so you can learn without the needing to sign up for anything. You can just learn about generative AI. You can learn about our site if you want to, but there's other stuff there for you as well. We just want to be a resource for teachers to access AI more broadly.
That is fantastic, because teachers need that support. My dissertation is focused on AI and PD, and the research has shown that, you know, roughly 87% of teachers have never had training on AI. Even in my sessions I've done, it's been up around like 70%. And again, finding the time to do that is tough. But when you can go to a site and you have like short, small little, you know, lessons, activities to work through at your own pace and whenever you feel like it, then that is a big benefit to teachers. Hamel, anything that you wanted to add?
Yeah, I would just say, like on a sales pitchy side, I would say twice the tools at half the cost of pretty much every other thing out there, and that we have taken zero money from anybody, and we are bound to nobody but our teachers and our mission. So, you know, if you're into supporting other teachers and that's your thing, rather than big corporations or big companies that are doing it differently, that's fine too. I mean, you get to make that choice, but we are literally just teachers. I'm still in the classroom. Tom's still in the classroom. And we're just committed to helping teachers create higher quality lessons and save time by leveraging artificial intelligence. So, yep.
I love that at half the price. It's true, because when teachers asked about it and I told them, they said, wait, is that per student? Or, you know, all of the different things were coming out. I said, no, that's $5.99 a month. And they go, wow, that's like amazing with all that is offered within EduAid. So definitely recommend that people check it out. So any last words or things that you'd like to share before we wrap up?
Just that I appreciate you so much, Rochelle. You know, we just really can't say enough about having this great partnership. And, you know, anything you need from us, we're here to support you as much as you supported us. And, you know, you've been a great resource, not only for me on a personal level, but, you know, just sharing your stuff and being part of your learning community has just been amazing. So thank you so much.
Of course. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thompson.
Just seconding what Hummel said. Thank you for having us on today. And to the teachers listening in on the podcast, just know that they have the power to kind of take that leap of faith that they know what will work well in their classroom and know that they can, you know, really make a difference for students. We can't underestimate that enough. Education is a public good. It's a foundational human right, and doing the work to deliver it well and at a high quality for students is very meaningful. And it's a great profession. I feel like it gets bureaucratized and kind of dragged down from time to time. And we really just hope that EduAid provides the tools for teachers to move out of that and feel kind of free to deliver high quality instruction to their students in a way that they are comfortable doing it, personalized not only to the students' needs, but to their teaching style.
Wow. I think that both of what you said was a great way to wrap up our conversation today. So I thank you both for taking the time to chat with me and with all of the listeners. And I will put a lot of links.
I got my sliver option on.
All right. Representing. Shout out Western PA. That's right. Western PA. We are live here today talking. So it's great to be connected with both of you. And it's exciting to see all of the great work that you're doing. I don't know how you balance all the time with being in the classroom and, you know, creating this great resource for teachers. But yeah. Look at that. Thankful coffee. For you because coffee does it. Yeah. Because you get it. And that's what I convey to others when I'm talking about EduAid. It's like you are living the experience. You know what teachers need. You're very receptive to it because you are in the classroom. And so that makes a big difference. So thank you again. And
big things coming too. We're not done yet. We got a bunch of big things coming too. So it's going to be great.
I had no doubt whatsoever, and I can't wait to find out. It's always a surprise when I log in. I'm like, wait, this is new. It's, you know, so it's fun. So stay tuned for what else is coming from EduAid, and we will catch you in the next episode. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
Bye.